This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. If you've been thinking about making some cookies, brownies, pasta, anything that requires eggs, you may be rethinking it because the price for that grocery staple has shot through the roof. We've even talked about it before on this podcast, and it just keeps getting higher. In fact, that old phrase that you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, it might have to be edited to something like, you can't make an omelet, full stop. The price of eggs is just too freaking high, and they're like the only thing I can cook. According to the latest data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Americans were shelling out nearly $5 for a dozen of eggs in January. That was up from around $2.50 a dozen last year. January's increase is up from December, too. At the end of last year, a dozen eggs cost around $4.15. And anecdotally, social media has been full of photos and videos of grocery stores charging $12 and more for a carton. Even though many have hoped that prices will soon peak, the United States Department of Agriculture shared a bleak outlook last month. It reported that egg prices could increase another 41% this year alone. Trump addressed the tariffs Tuesday during his address to Congress and said Americans are likely to feel some pain before they see economic relief from his plan. That USDA estimate comes amid increasing concerns about avian flu. Nearly 19 million commercial egg layers were affected by the current strain of bird flu in January. That was the highest monthly total since the outbreak began. As a result of the outbreak, families, bakeries, and restaurants have been responding to the higher prices. At Waffle House and Denny's, surcharges have been added for each egg customers buy. And for people who can't afford a dozen, some bodegas are selling so-called Lucy's. Those are single eggs that cost a couple of dollars each. And other grocers have placed buying restrictions on eggs in an attempt to stop customers from overbuying and hoarding them. Costco, Kroger, Trader Joe's, and more have all put these policies in place to stop panic buying. Bakeries are another business being impacted. Bill Hanisch, the owner of the Hanisch Bakery in Red Wing, Minnesota, joined Odyssey to share how his bottom lines are being affected.
I tell you, I wish you were in studio bringing us treats because that, it is very difficult to talk to you knowing that you're surrounded by all those fabulous baked goods that you make. But tell us a little bit about how these egg prices are affecting you.
They are affecting us in a drastic way. Right now, just kind of watching to see, you know, if there'll be a decrease coming up shortly. Otherwise, we will be definitely making some price changes as we start to go forward.
It's so hard as a small business, you know, like a Denny's can add and just say, hey, we're going to charge this temporarily. But, you know, being a small business in a small town, how difficult is that for you to think of even increasing it a little?
I wouldn't say it's difficult. I mean, obviously, I think customers are understanding at this time. You know, for us, you know, it's just making sure that customers are aware of why we're doing it, which, you know, pretty much everybody's aware of where the egg prices are. I mean, you look at, you know, we use a lot of actually liquid whole eggs. And from this time last year, they've actually tripled in price. People are like, well, how much does that cost you? Well, that's roughly about an extra $6,000 a month for me.
My goodness, that's a huge impact. Do you change anything you do because of these prices? Do you alter recipes at all? Or do you still have to kind of move forward with the amount of eggs that you use?
You basically just have to move forward. You know, we do periodic price adjustments anyways. So, I mean, we're at a spot where it's not horribly bad on us, but, you know, we will be adjusting here again if this prolongs any further. But, you know, we don't use a ton of shell eggs here. We use some, you know, but even on the shell eggs, you know, from mid-August last year, I mean, they've you know, almost for us, they've over doubled in price. You know, so you add that on top of the liquid eggs, and that's a lot of money per month that you have to figure out how to get back, I guess you could call it. But yeah, hopefully they'll go down sooner than later. But yeah, it's definitely tough.
Low carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the avian flu outbreak, many have started to rethink the nation's processes for vaccinating animals. As things sit, the USDA has not mandated that poultry or cows be vaccinated against the bird flu, mainly because research on the vaccine and how they affect the animals is ongoing. The poultry industry also remains divided on the topic, with an overwhelming majority not being in favor or against vaccinations. To share more on this and how the current outbreak could impact future regulations, Greg Herbruck, the CEO of Herbruck's Poultry Ranch in Saranac, Michigan, who lost 6.5 million chickens to the bird flu last year, joined Odyssey.
We're going into our fourth year of fear of it because it's running rampant in our country. And our farm was impacted last April by it when we were the first farm to discover that dairy cows could transfer this virus. And so we, you know, historically dairy farms have been good neighbors because they don't share diseases with poultry. So, you know, when you're talking about the barnyard, other poultry and swine are a big risk because there's a lot of common diseases that they can share. So we always have high biosecurity with that in mind. And we were caught. You know, we had employees that worked on dairy farms on weekend or had family members that did, and some sort of crossover happened. And that was part of this virus is changing dramatically over the years. And that's why it's been tough for the government to stop it. The stamp out isn't working because this virus, I've used the word terrorist, it keeps coming up with new techniques and strategies to evade our biosecurity measures and then the stamp out measure that the USDA uses to try to control it.
So how many chickens did you lose?
We have around 11, just under 11 million. We lost 6.5 million in Michigan, all our Michigan farms. We have farms outside of the state, but we lost 6.5 million, which was one of the biggest outbreak in the country. And so it was on three farms, but it was basically, they're all within about 4 or 5 miles. And whether we spread it or whatever it was, but it was a devastating, because the way the government works and is this disease is considered an exotic foreign animal disease. So their program, and it's written in what's called the Red Book, is to stamp it out, which means they come in quickly and have the farm euthanize the birds. And if you can't do it, they will, but they'll euthanize them to stop the spread. And what happens is when you get a big farm that's got a lot of sick chickens, it's like a big sneeze in a neighborhood, and they're learning that it can go aerosolized, which means it can go airborne. Historically, it's only been, vectors of mechanical, like on a human, on equipment or something like that, that spread it. Here is like it can go from farm to farm in the air. And that's the scary part, because all our amazing and expensive biosecurity can be circumvented by an aerosol. It's just not possible to disinfect the air for a farm. It's just the amount of air that, when you think about it, it's huge. But each bird needs 7 cubic feet per minute. And if there's 2 million birds on there, that's a lot of air. And
so what are you recommending we do to stop this?
Well, what we've done, and it's right in within the Red Book, is there's an option if the stamp out doesn't work, that the vaccines can be considered as an option. We're asking the federal government to exercise that option of, okay, this isn't working, we're going into our fourth year of it, we need a different strategy. Right now, we're not allowed to vaccinate, even though vaccines are available, because of this policy in USDA and the federal government that we're going to try to control this with stamping it out, which in 2015 worked, but the virus took a hiatus for a bit and then figured out more strategies to combat. Now we have a whole different thing to deal with. So we need to get to a vaccine and deal with the turbulence or the headwinds of trade and other. That's the main concern, is trade. And that concerns are based on old technology. So vaccines used to be, when we first started, they were actually the live virus of the field strain, it's called, and they would attenuate it so it couldn't reproduce. So, but that made the policy based on, well, that's the real virus. Well, with new vaccines, you know, the mRNA and recombinant vaccines, they're just a snippet of some of the DNA that helps induce immune response in the host or the recipient of the vaccine. And that's kind of like what we did with COVID, but mRNA vaccines are very specific, and they can't reproduce. And so the fear that this old policy was built on is not even possible in these new vaccines. So that's why it's going to take, from our perspective, we need to have people in Washington that recognize we need a different strategy. There are other tools we can use, vaccine being one, and the economics are huge. You know, the government has spent almost $2 billion in the last couple of years paying farmers to kill their animals.
As egg prices keep rising, resulting in other products getting more expensive, Americans are being forced to ask, when is enough enough? While the changing of the guard can often affect the economy, the return of President Donald Trump hasn't yet included prices going down for everyday Americans. In his first month back in office, prices have actually risen, and the USDA is expecting grocery prices to rise at least 3.3% in 2025. The bird flu did begin before Trump returned to office, so it's hard to blame him for the current rise in egg prices. But how have his other policies affected our wallets? Ted Rossman, a senior industry analyst at Bankrate, offered some perspective.
Well, let's start with tariffs. Yeah, there was some big news yesterday when the president floated this idea of a 25% tariff on European Union goods. That joins the Canadian and Mexican tariffs that have been delayed but are now scheduled to take effect next week. We know about the tariffs on China. The worry is that this is going to lead to higher prices at a time when nobody wants that. I mean, we've been wrestling with inflation the past few years. It's hard to find an economist who believes that tariffs are going to be good for the inflation fight. So I know the president says he believes this is a necessary tactic for negotiation, both on the economy and the border, but a lot of people are worried that it could stoke higher prices.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of promises the president made on the campaign trail and where they stand. One, the campaign promise for a cap on credit card interest rates, and second, the no income tax on tips.
They both sound great for consumers. I do worry about unintended consequences for both. The average credit card rate is 20%. Many people are paying 25 or 30 or even more. I don't want people paying high credit card rates. I mean, ideally, you pay in full, you avoid interest. I know that's easier said than done. But the problem potentially with a 10% rate cap, which is currently being debated in the Senate, is that's not going to be profitable for banks. And they're going to pull way back on lending if that happens. They're going to cut rewards. They might raise other fees like annual fees and late fees. And I just worry that that one may sound better than it really is. Rather than government intervention, I'd rather see people get in a position where they can pay it off or get a 0% balance transfer card. Similar with no taxes on tips. Again, sounds good. Workers keep more of their wages. I just worry that a lot of tipped workers are already in a precarious position. And our research shows that consumers are pulling back on tips. They're feeling annoyed about high prices. They're worried that tips are creeping into aspects of life that they didn't used to. They don't like those pre-entered tip screens. A lot of people are tipping less. So if the pie is shrinking, even if you're not taxed on it, I would just be hesitant to go all in on being a tipped worker. I think that's a pretty precarious position.
Whether or not you blame Trump's policies and or his rhetoric for the rising prices of eggs and other groceries, we're wondering about this. What does the new president plan to do to fix the issue? Here's one thing. The USDA announced that it plans to spend $1 billion to help U.S. farmers who have been affected by the bird flu. Officials say the money will be split up into three different areas. $500 million is expected to be used on biosecurity measures. Around $100 million will be used to push forward vaccine research and development, and another $400 million will go to farmer financial relief programs. More than 35 million birds have already been killed in response to the outbreaks, and many Americans have already been feeling the effects of avian influenza for some time. Eggs, they're not the only thing in the basket that have Americans concerned. A new study by LendingTree found that nearly 9 in 10 Americans are changing the way they shop to fight inflated grocery bills. They're searching out non-name brand items, sticking only to items on a list, going to cheaper stores, hunting for coupons, and paying close attention to prices. About 3 in 5 people in the study, or 61%, said they're stressed about being able to afford groceries. The number goes up to 74% for respondents who earn less than $30,000 a year. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are hoping that I'll cut to the chase and give you some idea of when prices will start to come down. And sadly, all I've got for you is no time soon. Last month, the USDA predicted that in 2025, overall food prices will rise slightly faster than the historical average rate of growth. You might be thinking right now, hey, maybe a backyard chicken coop is the answer. Well, we've got some information about that too. In order for a coop with 8 hens to save consumers money, eggs would have to cost $10 per dozen. That is what Dana Zook, an Oklahoma State University Extension area livestock specialist, told USA Today. If raising chickens sounds like a fun hobby to you, have at it. But don't count on your chickens to save anything in your wallet. And definitely don't count on your chickens before they're hatched. As fifth-generation chicken keeper and Maine master gardener Lisa Steele writes in her popular how-to blog Fresh Eggs Daily, raising chickens is a marathon, not a sprint. Raising prices on consumer products, now that's another story. And one we've all learned well in the last few months. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.